Please turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now, I'm not going to go through this exhaustively because this is just my jumping off point. The title of the series is called This is Kingdom. The reason that we're in this series is because we have this rather typically, this rather shallow or very narrowly focused view of the kingdom of God and the reality of the kingdom of God. We have got to make this leap, this change into what the reality of kingdom thinking, kingdom minded, and the reality of the kingdom in our lives is according to this gospel of grace that we understand right now. Now, the gospel of grace is a big deal. It's a big life-changing, game-changing deal in all of us and for all of us. When we get this revelation of God's grace, all of a sudden chains and shackles spiritually that have put on us, condemnation and penalties and shame and guilt and sickness and disease and lack all begin to fall off. Right? Okay. And that's just the beginning. Because there's much more. But this comes with a kingdom mindset. And all too often, here's what happens. Something comes into our lives and we go, ugh! We revert right back to this narrow, shallow thinking and mindset and focus on things that are self-centered or based on us fulfilling or take our efforts, or they have nothing to do with the kingdom. And what we do is we cut off God's capability, God's grace working in other areas. We cut it off. We don't have to do that, but it all is part of how we think about the things that come into our lives and how we think about what Jesus said to do. We have a job. Like it or not, we have a job. We have a purpose. You know, the call that God has given us, when he said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I think toward you, plans to prosper you, give you a future and a hope, a confidence, a sure thing. However, this includes what he has for us to do and how he works through us. You want to walk in the power of God? Live in the power of God? To walk is to live in the Greek. You want to walk and live in the power of God? You want to see these things happen and the grace of God, or the ability of God, and the capability of God, and the power of God, and the might of God, and the strength of God, and the supernatural part of God work in our lives? Then we have things to do that go along with the word. It's not only about receiving. Right? Okay. Kingdom. This is kingdom. Now, what we've been on in this series is all about how we deal with other people, the world around us, the polarization. Polarization is literally the definition of division. That's what it is. That's an ugly, ugly word, and it brings sad, destructive, terrible thoughts to us when we think about division, because division happens in families. It happens in churches, and it's happening in our country. As our country continues to tear itself apart, it is loaded with division. The purpose that we have as Christians is to bring a turnaround to what's happening in this world, in our sphere, and in unity as a body. That's what we're called to do. And not allow what's happening in the world around us to take part or become a part or to become an issue in the body. How we look at the body as Christians. Okay, so that kind of lays the foundation. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 27, a lawyer, lawyers are good at looking for loopholes most of the time in the law. A lawyer who was looking for a loophole in the law came to Jesus and he said, "What do I need to do to get eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What's your reading of the law? What do you think it is?" "Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." That was number one. And never forget that. It's to fall in love with him, to stay in love with him, to be continually in love with him, because that's what he desires of us. That's the kind of love that we have. It's a relationship. And it's because we want to. It's because of his goodness. And he's always good to us. No matter what we think or see or what's going on in our lives, God is always good. Amen? Okay. Just want to make sure we're thinking the same. And it's still cold in here. Can we get that thing shut off, please? Thank you. Is it the fan? Fanza? Okay. The second part of what the lawyer said to Jesus that brought him his understanding of eternal life was to love your neighbor as yourself. And he's looking for a loophole. I don't want to love people. People are hard to work with and hard to deal with. I don't want to. I'm looking for a way out and a way to do it the way I want to do it. And basically, Jesus said, do this. If you love God and you love people, this is all unconditional. If you do this, you'll inherit eternal life, because all of the fulfillment of the law of God, the baseline that everything else is built upon in the moral law and the civil law of God, is based on those two scriptures. Those two pillars hold everything else up. If you understand construction, that's a big deal. That means they are huge. Love is the baseline, and it comes from a change of heart. When you understand the grace of God, your heart changes. Our hearts change because we begin to understand his unconditional love and what Jesus has actually really literally accomplished for us, right? Okay. So we've got all this polarization going on in our country, and wherever there is flesh or carnality, I'm speaking strictly flesh in operation along with an antichrist spirit. Wherever that happens, wherever it is, there is going to be division or polarization. And we see it all over the place. It filters into the body of Christ. Because even in the body, even among spirit-filled or baptized in the Spirit, born-again believers who are understanding the grace of God, they're still flesh. Flesh happens. And there ain't nobody perfect. Right? Now, how do we deal with it? Luke chapter 11, verse 17. Jesus said, every kingdom, every single kingdom, whether it is a kingdom, a church, a family, wherever there is any kind of hierarchy or any kind of relationship between people, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every single one. And a house divided against itself will fall. Period. Now, we all know this to be true. But without an understanding of kingdom, what is kingdom and what is not kingdom, you know, we don't really think about this. We don't. We see it happening all around us. Now, I'm not talking specifically of the church. I'm talking in general. But we see it happen, but we don't, in a kingdom mindset, we don't think about these things. do we? It's important that we begin to see this and understand this. The title of this message today is called The Power of Unity. Now, we just went through the power of mercy. This is called the power of unity. There were a bunch of us pastors together at one point, and I meet with a group, and in this group, it was asked, what causes division? Or what are the problems between churches? And I'm going to speak about the body. And you know, the very first thing that came to all of our minds were all the issues that cause division between churches, church leaders, and people within the churches. Doctrinal differences was a big one. When we meet, whether we believe in healing or don't. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. These were some of the issues that were focused on that in pastors' minds and hearts brought division. And they acknowledged that this is very much a part of what they thought. These came to their minds. Okay? Then was brought up what brings unity. Because you see, what is kingdom in this kingdom mindset is, what is it that we focus on that brings unity rather than division? There's lots of opportunities and means and ways to allow division to take place. But you see, there is power in unity. There's no power in division. Division is a diversion from righteousness. And division is not love-based. You understand? What we see happening in our country and sometimes among churches and church people are, it really is unrighteousness. It's ungodliness. It's unscriptural. And it is not love. You know what love is? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. I want to read this. Love suffers long and is kind. There's no room for anything else in this. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, and is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity or evil, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now that is the basis of how we live in righteousness without division, because there is power in unity. Now this is what kingdom is. Okay, and as we've turned the ship of our church into actually being an outreach type of church and beginning to reach the lost and build disciples, because that's really what I want to do. That's why we're here. Man, we want to reach them and build disciples. We've got something so good to offer. We've got to have a kingdom mindset of bringing them in and living out the love base of what we've received. James 3 verse 18 says, now the fruit of righteousness, or the produce, or the results of righteousness, is sown in peace by those who make peace. Peace in this aspect in the Greek means harmony. We are to be sowers of harmony. Wow, that cuts the division or the distraction of division right out of our lives. Harmony is where two can get along even in spite of diverse I'm talking about now people that we work with, that we deal with. Remember, part of somebody shared with me this morning about the things that I've been teaching about and sharing about the last few weeks in dealing with people, how we look at people around us, how we see them. We don't see, stop seeing the sin. Stop looking at their identity as sin. Nobody looks at us like that anymore. We don't look at ourselves like that anymore. Jesus didn't look at people like that. We don't see their sin and label them. We look at the person and see the value God has put on the person. That's what we see. If somebody walked in and had a full beard and a dress, really, walked right up the aisle, full beard, a dress, high heels, maybe a wig, maybe not, what would you do? What would you think? How would you feel? Would you? In love, be able to see the person and the value God has put on the person rather than the obvious where they're living. Can we do that? Not affirming the sin. Please don't misunderstand this. Not agreeing with the sin, saying, it's okay. Live how you want to live. Be free. No. Because we love them enough to tell them the truth. In that love, it's destroying you. It's hurting. God made a better way. And doing it in grace. And grace in this context means graciousness. Okay? So we have to be able to begin to think like this because this is kingdom. This is what Jesus did when he ate with tax collectors and sinners. The fruit of righteousness, James 3:18, is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, this has got to be something that comes from the heart. It really does. because I'm a little older, I have liked and watched older movies, and I'll share this with you. There was an old movie about World War II, and I'm a World War II buff. And it was called Mr. Roberts. In this old movie, James Cagney, probably a lot of you don't even know him, James Cagney was a captain was a captain of a ship, and Henry Fonda was one of the officers that were under the captain, who was James Cagney. And James Cagney had some pretty serious insecurity and control issues. And Henry Fonda struggled with it. So James Cagney, the captain of the ship, was saying to James Cagney at one point, Mister, I'm the captain of this ship. See? And there ain't going to be no disharmony aboard this here ship. See? And he was really saying, I'm going to force out of my position harmony and unity regardless. That's not how it works. All right? Might work in the Navy, but it doesn't work in the kingdom, okay? Now God's will is that ain't going to be no disharmony in this church. Okay. In his body, see? But that's his heart because flesh gets in and really can cause a lot of hurt, stumbling, and problems, right? Unity in the church, and this is what I want to come down to this morning. Unity in the church, the worldwide body, I'm talking about everybody that's born again and names the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. The local body, which is like us, whatever size we are, the local body. And then individuals, the individual person. We will never be a force for righteousness and the gospel until we are in unity with each other. How we treat each other is the way we are literally treating Jesus. Period. Whether we're loving, or whether we're attacking, or whether we're undermining, or whether we're building up, what we are doing, whatever we do in the church, is how we are treating Him. It is important, it is imperative, if we're ever going to have the power to change things in this world, that we are in unity. In the worldwide body, in the local body, and individually with the Lord. Paul lays it out really well. Would you go to Ephesians 4? And this is what I wanted to get to. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read verses 1 through 7. Sounds long, but it's not, because it's really power-packed. And every statement in here he makes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is a game changer. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7. Paul writes, or God says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech and plead with you to walk worthy of the calling and the invitation with which you were invited into eternal life. With all lowliness and humility and gentleness, with long suffering, patience, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring earnestly to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Bond of peace literally means tied together. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. You can't get any more one than that. Can you? We are one. It doesn't matter what differences there are unless Jesus is not Lord of somebody's life. Then we're separated. But any other way, if Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and you know what? We don't get to judge them. Then guess what? We are part of the body. And we are unified. Now, how does this work? First, we need to know what divides and breaks the power of unity. We've got to be aware of these things. Number one, judgments. I cannot tell you how dangerous and how deeply judgments that we make about people, other people that are different than us, that are Christians or followers of Jesus who do things differently, don't believe in that grace healing stuff, or whatever it might be. We've had people come against us. And I don't give you the details. And things have been on social media and all kinds, we've been talked about in a negative way. Because people don't agree with what we're teaching. They don't agree with this revelation of God's grace the way we understand it, according to the Word. And judgments have been made. And guess what? We're living in health, prosperity. Things are changing in our lives. Righteousness has taken over. All kinds of things. In our church, we're pretty healthy. I mean spiritually healthy and physically healthy. Financially healthy, and other things. And in the places that have come against us, there's been some issues and problems. I hear about them. Judgments, the decisions that we make about other people. It breaks unity. It breaks it down and divides. Let me tell you what, we can do it, but it is never good for us to make a judgment about somebody. We don't get to judge. Period. We don't know hearts and agendas and motives and anything else. Two, gossip. Gossip is one of the most undermining and divisive things that can happen in the kingdom of God. Again, I'm just speaking about the church now, because we're separate from the world. But what's going on in the world can happen in church because of flesh. Gossip is a total flesh thing. Gossip hurts people. It destroys and divides. Cliques. I hate cliques. I hate them with a passion. If I see cliques, I'd do immediately to break it up. I'd do everything I could. Our church has never had a clique that I know of. I don't ever want it to, ever. Offenses. Offenses are never justified. Please hear me on this. They're divisive. They cause division in the body, but they are never, ever, ever, ever justified. You can't make it a good thing. You can't make it a righteous thing. It's never justified. Accusations. There's only one accuser of the brethren, and that is the devil. We are not the accuser of the brethren, are we? That's divisive. Fear. Fear is divisive. I'm afraid of that group. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. The next one is what I call spiritual identity politics. Spiritual identity politics. I have to make this quick because I'm running out of time. Identity politics are when we follow a particular politician, a particular man or woman, a particular organization, a particular whatever it might be, and we identify that's who we are. That's where we're found. That's it. We are of them. Spiritual identity politics, what I call it, is, and I'm going to tell you this, okay? I have received much from many teachers and still do. I have teachers in particular that I really like. But I will not be of a particular teacher. I will be of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Okay? Period. That is my stand. That's the stand of our church. Not going to be a name dropper. Except Jesus. Because that's the one who I am of. Period. There's a lot of good teachers out there. A lot of good grace teachers. There's a lot of them. More than what you maybe realize. Get everything you can get. But I listen to teachers that aren't even grace teachers. They're Baptists. Baptists. Man, they've got some good stuff. No, they don't have a handle on the Holy Spirit. Eat the hay and spit out the sticks. This is a mature group. I consider this a mature group. You can do this. Okay? There's a lot of good spiritual food out there. But don't be of anybody except Jesus. That's my encouragement to you. All right. The other things that divide and destroy within the church, worldwide, local body, and between individuals and relationship with the Lord are self-righteousness, pride, immaturity, and finally, the critical nature of the old man. We're either living in the new creation or we're living in the old. And a lot of times we jump back and forth. When we learn to live in the new person, in the new creation, when we learn to live in the new creation, man, look out. Things will change mightily. But what is it that unifies and releases the power of God. Number one, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That unifies when He's truly Lord of our lives. Number two, a kingdom view. His kingdom view, not our kingdom. Number three, righteousness. Number four, living out the reality of our new identity. So that's why it's so important that we find out who we are now. Those are the things that unify, and ultimately, on the base of it all, is love. That's walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. So how do you bridge the gap? And how do we unify the body? How do we do this? How do we make this work? I mean, it sounds way too big and way too complex to do, doesn't it? Sounds hard. It sounds like, I'm just one person. Praise God. Because it takes every one person to be on the same page, the same mind, and the same heart to be able to be unified and release the power of unity in order to begin to reach this world or this sphere, our community around us. Number one, have to see each of us as a bridge builder, because we are. We are bridge builders, every single one of us, between Jesus and the world. That's why this whole aspect of how we see people is most important. Number two, we have to magnify what unites us. Magnify or focus on what brings us together. What helps us to function in unity with somebody that maybe is diverse from how I understand the grace of God. So what if they meet on Saturdays? So what if they're under the dietary? So what? Who cares? So what if they're doing some rituals that are out of the Old Testament and a little tweaks? Do they love Jesus? Are they born again? We can work with them. We can be in unity. The ministries that we support, you know, they're not grace-based. You understand that? And yet they do the work of the ministry, and we're unified, connected with them, the local ministries. All right, so the scripture in this is Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 2. Let each of us, believers, who name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please his neighbor, neighbor meaning anybody, for his good, leading to his or her edification. Do something for them that builds them up, that blesses them, that honors them, that gives them dignity, that do something that shows the love of Jesus to them for their lives. Next one, separate yourself. We have to do this, to separate ourselves. When you recognize division or a source of division or disharmony in the body, when you recognize it, address it. Don't be scared. Call it what it is. It's divisive. And if it doesn't change, or the person continues to behave in the flesh and divisive, separate yourself. Just back away. Pray for them. But back away. Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 is quite blunt. It's real honest. Reject a divisive man or woman after the first and second warning, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. They are hurting themselves, condemning themselves, penalizing in this aspect. They are penalizing themselves. They're doing it to themselves. Back away. If you know somebody's divisive, tell them they're being divisive. If somebody's gossiping, tell them, you know what? Don't gossip. It's divisive. Or whatever. But if somebody doesn't pay attention, just back away. Separate yourself. Remember, there's power in unity. Don't let anybody destroy that. Last one. Colossians 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech always, and always means in the Greek, always. It's funny how those words work, isn't it? No getting around it. Let your speech always be with grace. Grace in this context and in this meaning means with graciousness. Whoa, graciousness. Seasoned with salt, with flavor. This is a good flavor, okay? That you may know how you ought to answer every single person you speak to. This is what builds relationships and unifies through the differences and through the diversity in the worldwide body, in the local body, and between individuals in relationship with the Lord. Okay? Be a bridge builder. Do good things for your neighbor. Be a pleaser of your neighbor for their good, so you can build them up. Reject divisive people after warning them a time or two. Walk away. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace. This is living out and experiencing the grace of God and the power of unity. In order to be a force, unified force, not divided, to be able to reach the sphere, the community, the world, the neighborhood around us. This is kingdom. Amen? Would you stand, please? Don't forget, love is always the base we build from. Always. All right. Prayer ministers will be up here. Come on up. And if you need a healing, or you need some understanding, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, make sure you see a FOMA. If you need a miracle, because signs, wonders, and miracles are here. God's given it by grace. You need a breakthrough? It's here. I'm going to dismiss you. Please come and see one of these prayer team ministers, all right? Just talk to them. They'll give you wisdom, discernment, understanding the word. They'll lay hands on you and you will receive in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts, our minds, our church, our lives, that we are kingdom-minded for you, Jesus, your kingdom. And we love you. And today, our lives are yours. I want to thank you. Lord, give us wisdom in how we should share the things that we've got, how we should promote this church, and bring them in and make disciples. Thank you for giving us a heart to do this in the power of unity. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed week, everybody.